This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
There are things that we put on a pedestal. We put things like cancer on a pedestal. We put things like leukemia on a pedestal. We put sickness on a pedestal. We put athletes on a pedestal. We put politicians on pedestals. But there is a name that is higher than the name of cancer. There is a name that is higher than the name of any sickness. There is a name that is higher and greater than any name that has ever lived. And that name is Jesus. And we lift up and we magnify the name of Jesus. There is no one higher. There is no one higher. No one greater. Well, we have a treat for you here at MBP this week. This Wednesday night is a night that you're not going to want to miss. And the reason why you don't want to miss this Wednesday night is because we have a very special speaker. And that very special speaker is our own pastor, Brother Mahoney. He's going to be preaching the word to us Wednesday night. And we are so glad that he is getting back into the saddle of things. For those of you who don't know, he had this thing. It's called a heart attack. I heard someone say, yeah, it's like a small heart attack, but I don't think there is a small heart attack. A heart attack's a heart attack. And so we're so glad that he will be back in the saddle this Wednesday night. Oh. Well, you know what? There is absolutely nothing that excites me more lately than coming to church with all of you. If you're kind of new to this whole church thing, or you're new to what we do here at the Moss Bluff Pentecostals, and you see all this stuff, you see this worshiping and the shouting and the clapping and the lifting of your hands, it's all normal stuff in the Bible. Let me assure you, it's just not normal to the world. And so we proudly worship the name of Jesus here. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you a warning before I start this morning. I'm already moving around a little bit more than I normally. I try to, in my mind, stay right here. But I feel a little bit of a strong preaching spirit on me this morning. And so the more you get with me, the shorter I'll go. But if you don't, I've got 2, 3, 4 hours. It don't bother me any. And I'm just going to go ahead and warn you and encourage you that the Word of God is going to make your life better today. It's going to make your home better today. And God's Word is going to give you hope in areas of your finance that you have no clue about. If you yield, I'm warning you. I'm just warning you. If you yield your life to God's Spirit today, it is going to empower you in such a way that you will never be the same. Just warning you, what's about to happen in your life. There's some things about to change. There's some dynamics that you've been dealing with for a long time that are going to change today if you yield to it. So I would encourage you, yield to it this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Luke. Chapter 4, we're reading in verse 1 and verse 2, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, then we're going to go to verse 14. Those are the three, Luke 4, 1, 2, and 14, those are the three scriptures we're going to be reading at the front, but we're going to be all over everything in between today. There's an expectancy in my spirit for this service today. And I really hope that I can communicate it effectively to you where it completely changes your life. Luke chapter 4. Hopefully there's some revelation coming to you today about some things that's been going on in your life. And hopefully the Word of God can reveal some things about that. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. And I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version this morning. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The devil didn't send Jesus into the wilderness. Life didn't send Jesus into the wilderness. Many times, whenever we find ourselves in the wilderness, we automatically assume that it's the enemy, our adversary, or even our choices that put us in the wilderness. But could I propose the thought that possibly the reason why you're in the wilderness is because you were led there by the Spirit? Not because of your enemy, not because of your choices, but because the Spirit desired for you to be in the wilderness. And Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. In other words, he fasted. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. Let's go to verse 14. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 4 says, then Jesus returned, say, from the wilderness. Then Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. In the power of the Spirit. What your enemy does not want you to know is that you're coming out of your wilderness with power. You're coming out with power. The purpose of the wilderness is to mold you and to shape you. But guess what? You're coming out with power. As a matter of fact, we are made overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. You can't have a testimony without the wilderness. Right. You're coming out with power this morning. Let's clap our hands to Jesus one more time and thank him for his word. You know what? Why don't you turn to two people and say, you got the power. Dun-dun-dun-dun. You may be seated. I think all of us in our lives have asked the question at one point or another, why am I going through this? And if your life is just peachy right now, today, this morning would be a good time to remember a wilderness experience that you've been in. Because I guarantee you that you'll probably find yourself there again. But I've asked, and I'm sure you've asked, why am I going through this? Why is my family subject to this pain? Why is this happening to me? Why am I in this dilemma? Why am I going through this financial hardship? Why can I not see a clear picture of the future for my life? And here is the tension that we face. Why, oh, why? And we don't know what to do. And I think the first scripture that we read this morning in Luke, tells us a lot about God. Sometimes he leads us into the wilderness and into dry places for a reason. He wants you to be tested and battle proven. And some of you have been thinking, I've been losing this fight. I'm discouraged and I'm discontent. And you've even been discouraged enough where you've been discouraged to the point of questioning your own purpose. And some of you this morning have even been questioning your own salvation because of the wilderness. But I'm here to encourage you this morning that you're coming out with power. You know what? There are some things that you need to know about your wilderness. It's a place of weakness. You need to realize that God specializes not in your strength, but God specializes in your weakness. because God's strength cannot come out of you. God's power cannot come out of you until you know personal weakness. That is why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The reason that I'm in the wilderness, the reason why I'm facing this weakness, is because if I am not in a weak state, the power of God cannot flow through me. You see, some of you, and I feel very confident in saying some of you, because I've even found myself in this place. We work so hard to be strong in our flesh. But God is not impressed with your strength. I can take your weakness and use that to declare my strength in your life. Because the wilderness is a place of personal weakness. There's something else about the wilderness that we find. There's wild beasts in the wilderness. You know any wild beasts in your life? Maybe you're going to go home with a wild beast. Maybe you woke up with a wild beast. Maybe some of your family is wild beast. Anybody got any family that's wild beast? Y'all raising y'all's hands and they're sitting in the room with you. There's wild beasts there. And in the wilderness, it's a dangerous place with a bunch of chaotic people. Remember, it was God that led you into that wilderness. And if God brings you into the wilderness, He is going to protect you in the wilderness. I will never leave you or forsake you, He said. And when things get wild, and the temptation, whenever you feel like you can't go on in that dry and barren place, is to run away.
That's right.
But God brought you in the wilderness. The problem is that you get under such attack and you feel it. And you can even read it on other people's faces. Good morning. Okay, I'm going to work. 3 hours early, busy, busy day. You can see it and you can feel it. But the wilderness is not in your life to kill you. The wilderness is in your life to build you. God has no intention of killing you in your weakness. His every intention is for Him to be made strong in your weakness, because you're coming out with power. That's why the enemy comes against you. You have to raise up a standard against it and say, I'm going to make it out of this dark place. I'm going to make it out of this wilderness. I'm going to make it out of this problem. And I'm going to make it out with the power of the Spirit of God. How do you survive this? How do I survive this wilderness? It's tough. It is a dark place for me. It's a dark place for my family. How do I make it out of this? How do I survive this? God wants to test you. Because you see, it's the test that allows you to advance.
That's right.
You have to take the test in order to advance to the next level.
Right.
I remember showing up in class in college, and they'd be like, hey, Donnie, you ready to take the test? I'd be like, what test? I think I graduated with a master's in ping pong. But you have to take the test in order to advance. And some of us, we think that the test is the devil. And we rebuke the test. But the devil is not the test. You're in the wilderness. And the reason why you're in the wilderness is so that God can prove to Satan and to the world who owns you. And both are saying that they own you. And the test is yours. Whenever you're feeling lonely, when you're feeling discouraged, it is up to you to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, don't you see everything around you? Don't you see the wilderness? It doesn't matter. As for me and Moss Bluff Pentecostals, we will serve the Lord, and we're coming out with power. It's in the wilderness where you determine who you're going to worship. It's in the wilderness where you determine who you're going to serve. Because if it's not for the wilderness, I mean, when life's peachy, it's not that hard. Ping pong's good. Until I got to go study for the test and I got to do homework. And then I actually have to think through processes and I actually have to make a decision if I really want to be here. It's the good times. It's in the bad times that we decide we're going to serve the Lord. Luke chapter 4 verse 3 says, "And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." See, it's in the wilderness that times that God advances you. It's all fine and dandy in the good times. But Jesus went through three tests, and I believe that these three tests are tests that you have to go through as well. Let me tell you what Satan was tempting Jesus to do in this first test. He was tempting him to make his own way. He's tempting Jesus to do his own thing. He was tempting Jesus to make his own food in a hungry time. That's why some of you are miserable right now, because you got in the wilderness and you began to create answers for yourself that God wasn't ready to give you an answer. And you took that job that God didn't want you to take yet because you couldn't trust God with your finances. And now you can barely get to church and you can barely go to work. And the reason is because you made your own answer. You did what you wanted to do rather than what God wanted you to do. And that's the temptation the enemy brings you in the wilderness. I need to make my own solution because I'm in the wilderness and I need a way out. So I'll make my own way out. The temptation is to make bread. The truth is, Jesus could make bread. But the question is not what you could do, it's what you should do. It's not the opportunity you have, it's the opportunity that God wants you to have. Sometimes you just have to wait, and you have to wade through good solutions. And you have to listen to bad solutions. There are good solutions, there are bad solutions, and then there are God solutions. Throw out the good ones, throw out the bad ones, and listen to the God ones.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You'll know. Well, how do I know? You'll know. But man, some hot bread sounds really, really good right now. I'm hungry. You know, you go to Outback and they bring those loaves of bread and set it on your table. I'm the type of person, like, you know what, I'm eating my portion and I'm looking across the table. Everybody else, you gonna eat your slice? Can I have it? And then the lady comes and you're like, hey, why don't you bring another loaf? Sir, we've already brought you three loaves. I know, keep coming. I tip well. Let's go. Come on, just keep them coming. And they keep bringing that hot bread and you keep eating it because it's so good. And then all of a sudden, a waitress shows up with your plate on it and sits your plate out in front of you, and you're like, oh, I should have waited. You let the pain that you were feeling dictate your actions rather than waiting on the thing that was specifically created for you.
That's right.
And those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The temptation is to make your own solution, But can I encourage you that God's answer may be a little bit longer than you want, but it's going to be better than you could ever imagine. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous because you don't think God's going to come through for you. But in the wilderness, if you just hold on, you're not just going to get through it. You're going to get through it, and you're going to be coming out with power. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." In one moment of time, he saw all the kingdoms. That probably looked good. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish." He shows him all that the world has to offer. And what Satan does is very, very smart thing. He makes what the world has to offer look better than what God has to offer. And here's what God does. He takes his blessings, he takes his peace, he takes his comfort, he takes his gifts, and he wraps them in ugly packages. And he sticks them on the same table that the enemy has placed this beautiful package. And he says, "Which one do you want?" But once you unwrap God's packages, it will make the things of this world seem so strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What he does is put something in front of you. And Satan goes, "Oh, well, that's too hard. That's too difficult. You can never amount to that." And God's saying, "How hard is my grace? How hard is my mercy? It's forever, and it's free for you. Oh, come into church. Why do I have to come to church every week? I don't know. Why the saints play every Sunday during football season? Reading your Bible. Oh, well, I don't understand that." Well, no, you're not going to understand your Bible at first. But the purpose of reading your Bible is to understand it. "Well, I just don't understand." Well, just keep reading. "Well, I don't know about all this hand-raising stuff that y'all do at y'all's church." Yeah, I see some of y'all, you're kind of like, I clapped my hands this morning. I don't understand it. That's weird. That's crazy. That's foolish. Well, don't you know that he uses the foolish things to confound the wise? Maybe the things, perhaps, possibly, the things that don't feel natural and the things that look foolish are actually the things that produce miracles and power. You're coming out this morning with power. You ought to be able to clap your hands and lift your hands and shout with a voice because you are coming out with power. Everybody else around you may see your wilderness. Everyone around you sees your hardship. But here's what they don't understand, is that I've already made up in my mind that I'm coming out with power. I've already made up in my mind I'm going to serve God. I've already made up in my mind that I'm not going to give in to an inferior substitute with power. You need to tell the enemy I'm coming out with power. Verse 7. "Therefore, if you will worship before me," this is Satan talking to Jesus, "all of this will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, I love this. "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." You know what? I'll be honest. The devil has a place in my life. I have given the devil a place in my life, and it's behind me. because he's got to remove himself and get behind me because I'm moving forward in Christ into the power of his resurrection and his might. And he has no voice. He has no say-so. He has nothing. Get thee behind me, Satan. And him only will you serve. This morning, Satan is going to get behind your family because you're going to tell him to. He's getting behind your home. He's getting behind your children. And you're coming out with power. Amen. Then, in verse 9, it says he brought him to Jerusalem. And he set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And in their hand they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said, It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What he did in the wilderness, and this is what I feel so strongly to tell you today, this is the temptation that I believe that most of us battle on a daily basis. He told Jesus, throw yourself down, your angels are going to catch you, no worries. What he's really saying is, give up.
That's right.
What he was trying to get Jesus to do was just give up. He's trying to get you to give up. He's trying to use what the Spirit has led you into as a weakness for you. He's trying to use it. He is trying to leverage your wilderness experience to get you to give up.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, well, you're tired. You're hungry. You don't know where God is most of the time, much less an angel. You don't even know where this power is coming from. I'm tired. I'm worn out. Leave me alone. Let me soak in my misery. I am in the wilderness. It is hot out here. Well, just give up. Quit. Find an easy way out. You know what? If you quit coming to church, your life would be a whole lot easier. If you just quit reading that Bible and just go with the flow, all will be well with you. Just give up. Just give up. There is nothing more that the enemy would love for you to do than just give up.
Amen.
There was a man named Darby. He staked claim whenever he went to go work with a pick and a shovel during the gold rush years. And then all of a sudden, after weeks of labor, he was rewarded by discovering the shiny ore. He needed machinery brought in to the surface. And so quietly he covered up this ore, this mine that he had built, and he went and he traced his steps back to his home in Maryland. He told his relatives and a few neighbors about the strike, and so they all threw in the money to purchase this machinery. They purchased the machinery and had it shipped to Colorado. And then Darby went back to stake his claim. Whenever he got back, the first core of ore was mined, and he shipped it to a smelter. The returns proved that he had one of the richest mines in Colorado. A few more cars of that ore could clear his debts, and they did. And then the big profit would come. Down went the drills, up went the hopes of Darby. Then something happened out of nowhere. The vein of gold disappeared. They had come to the end of the rainbow. The pot of gold was no longer in sight. They drilled on, desperately trying to pick up the vein, but to no avail. And then finally, Darby said, "Okay, we quit." And he took his machinery and he showed it to a junk man. Most junk men probably, or some junk men, might not have done what this one did. But this one called in a mining engineer to take a look at the mine. He did a little calculating. And the engineer advised that the project had failed, not because the ore had dried up, but because the owner was unfamiliar with fault lines. And his calculations showed that the vein could be found just 3 feet from where Darby had stopped drilling. And 3 feet later, that is exactly what the junk man found. And the junk man took the most millions in ore that anyone took in the gold rush age in Colorado. If the enemy can stop you, and life can just make you give up,
amen,
it knows that it can keep you from coming out of your wilderness with power. One of the things that discourages us the most is our behavior. I understand that. He knows that while we were in the wilderness, we stumbled. He knows that while we were in the wilderness, we made unwise choices and decisions, and we thought correct thoughts. But Jesus said that he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Don't quit. Don't stop. I know you're in the wilderness, and I know there's a test, but if you can just keep holding on to the promises of Christ, you are going to come out with power. I feel like the word that God has for this church today, and I feel like the word that God has for your family today is don't give up, because you're coming out with power. Ooh. I know, I realize, I understand that your situation is hard enough as it is. And I don't make light of the situations that you face in your life. They are real. You have real life, everyday battles and situations and wildernesses that you go through. If you've been through some dark times, if you've been through some lonely moments, if you feel like giving up, let me encourage you. Don't give up, because you're coming out with power. When Jesus came out of the wilderness, he began to heal people and deliver people and cast out devils. He had power and authority, because whenever he was face to face with the devil, when he was face to face with his adversary, he said, I refuse to give up. I refuse to bow down to the pressures of this life. And this morning is not a good morning for you to be full of pride. Donnie Willis has had to run down to the altar many times. And I want to encourage you today, if I'm talking to you today, if you're in a wilderness today, you're coming out with power. Why don't we all stand this morning? You know what? I would like for every person in the room to close their eyes and bow their heads. This morning, if I have spoken to you, if the word of God has spoken to you in any way, why don't you just slip up your hand? No one's looking. If God's spoken to you in some way today, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. You can put your hands down. I'm telling you, we're committed to not giving up. If you're coming out with power this morning, there's a holy boldness that wants to come on your spirit and empower you. But his strength and his power comes in your weakness. Well, you can lift your eyes and lift your hands this morning. If your family is in a wilderness, if your life is in a wilderness, you're coming out with power. I just see families being touched this morning. I feel like restoration is coming to homes. But you can't quit. You can't quit. You got to keep doing what's right. Even in the wilderness. Amen. They're about to sing, and there is nothing that the enemy would want you to do more than